4th annual Back to School Blood Drive at Nassau Community College. In the past, our community has been able to provide a significant number of blood units per year to help meet the needs of the Long Island region. So come on down to the multi-purpose room inside the College Center building on the campus of Nassau Community College on Thursday, September 13th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and do your part to maintain a safe and secure blood supply.
Blood donors must be at least 17 years old and in good health. For more information, call 516-572-7401 or visit ncc.edu.
Nominated as one of the best community college radio stations in the nation.
Keep listening and you'll see why.
FM,
HD,
Amazon Echo,
Google Home,
the TuneIn Radio app,
the iHeartRadio app,
and nccradio.org.
The voice of Nassau Community College.
This is the award-winning 90.3 WHPC.
WHPC HD, Garden City.
On the air, everywhere.
This program is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who presents 1964 The Tribute, a Beatles tribute concert on Friday, September 28th at 8 p.m. The Paramount is located at 370 New York Avenue in Huntington. More information can be found by visiting ParamountNY.com.
Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. 5 p.m., the happiest of happy hours on Friday. Time for American Hit Radio. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife, co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well for the next hour. On Fridays, we switch things around. We've been doing this for quite a number of years now. I don't even want to count them, to be honest. If I go back and look, I'll probably get depressed. But it's probably been about 7 or 8 years that we've been doing this, so sometimes I feel silly even mentioning it at this top of the show. But how music changed is what we do. We've got 250 topics that we work through, our way through, in great detail, picking one subject at a time that we feel is very important to the history of recorded music. And we do mean the entire history. This subject that we have been on for about a month and a half now are the songs of Cole Porter. We've been covering Mr. Porter now for 6 shows. Today is show number 7. Rather than move through his history chronologically, it seemed as though maybe it would be fun to mix it up a little bit by presenting his songs in an alphabetical manner. So that's what we're doing here today. In the previous shows, we've got done all the way up to the letter L, which brings us today to the letter M. It's like Sesame Street. Today's show is brought to you by the letter M. One artist that we've been playing quite a bit, maybe not quite a bit, but she's come up a couple of times already, is Ethel Merman. Ethel Merman was one of Cole Porter's favorite performers. She had been in one of his more well-received shows entitled Dubarry Was a Lady, and they considered her performance to be so great in that they immediately built a new show around her, and that was the 1940 musical comedy called Panama Hattie. In this instance, none of the songs from this show became huge hits. It was considered, according to what I'm reading here, for the most part, the songs were considered to be serviceable, not quite as memorable. But the best number was agreed by all to be this song, as sung by Ethel Merman, what she called the torch song to end all torch songs. Mm. How about that? It's called Make It Another Old Fashioned.
Since I went on the wagon, I'm certain drink is a major crime. For when you lay off the liquor, you feel so much slicker. Well, that is most of the time. But there are moments, sooner or later, when it's tough, I've got to say, not to say, waiter. Began to crash. So make it another old fashion, please. Leave out the cherry.
She wanted a stiff one.
Oh, yeah. For all you fans of the cocktail.
Oh, I'm going to dedicate that to your parents.
Oh, yeah. They weren't exactly old-fashioned people, though. There was, what was it?
Oh, they were like Manhattans.
Manhattans, which was essentially... Yeah, there was certain, like, the martini, the Manhattan, and the old-fashioned. They really were the most typical drinks for my parents' generation.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever you do, do not leave out the bitters.
As or Ethel the Merman cherry. Said.
All right, then. Now, the information I have on this next song fascinates me because I have misinterpreted the intent of this song pretty much my whole life. The next song alphabetically is called Miss Otis Regrets. And I always thought this was like one of the saddest songs that Cole Porter had written. And it turns out that the whole thing was written as a parody. Apparently, Cole Porter was listening to the radio and he heard this really sad cowboy song that he thought was sort of ridiculously sappy. And he decided that he would just start to make up his own version of it for high society. A high society version of that said cow was basically meant to be almost like, you know, he was basically having fun with it. He wasn't trying to be, you know, basically, you know, mocking it. But what he ended up doing, I think, was he ended up writing this incredibly sad song. He was inspired by, if you think about, like, as I had read, if you think about the folk ballad Frankie and Johnny, about how, you know, that was, he was my man, but he did me wrong, and she shoots him, and things go really bad for, as bad for Frankie as they did go for Johnny. Ultimately, this was meant to be that, but this is about a society woman who ends up keeping her cool as she faces the gallows. And the version, this was written way back in 1934, and there's a version that is that I found here by the American blues singer Alberta Hunter. but she's performing with the Jack Jackson Orchestra, who I'd never heard of before, with a dance band of the 30s. And she sings the song as though she's on the telephone having a syncopated conversation. Just tune in then to Alberta Hunter's version of Miss Otis Regrets.
What do you want?
I'm calling to say that Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. She is sorry to be delayed, but last evening down in Lover's Lane she strayed. Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
Three more pennies, please.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll call you back.
And found that her dream of love was gone. Mister, she ran to the man who had led her so far astray. And from under her velvet gown, she drew a gun and shot her lover down. Mister, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
Well, this sounds awfully serious. I don't know what to say about it. Well, you better carry on.
When the mob came and got her and dragged her from the jail, mister, they strung her upon the old willow across the way. And the moment before she died, she lifted up her lovely head and cried. Mister, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
I get the regrets. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
All right, then. As Cole Porter intended it, to be a bit of a sardonic number about a jealous lover killing her partner and then saying, oops, you know what, I'm not going to be able to get to lunch today. I think I'm arrested. More or less, that's
it. Or she got hung.
Well, eventually she gets hung, exactly.
Right.
Now, I had never heard that version, which I guess would have made the purpose of the song a little bit more plain to me. But I forget how long ago, maybe about 15 or 16 years ago, Brian Ferry of Roxy Music put out an album of old classics, songs pretty much that are very much part of the Great American Songbook. And, you know, as Cole Porter is one of the most important writers of the Great American Songbook. The album was called As Time Goes By. And it was Brian Ferry's interpretation of what you could now obviously consider to be quote-unquote old-time music. And he did a version of Miss Otis Regrets that shows a very, very different side of that song and a very different interpretation.
Are you going to play it now?
So I think I will here on 90.3 WHPC, Brian Ferry's version of Miss Otis Regrets. Bye.
this Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. She is sorry to be delayed, but last evening down in Lover's Lane she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When she woke up and found that her dream of love was gone, madam, she ran to the man who had led her so far astray. And from under her velvet gown, she drew a gun and shot her lover down. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When the mob came and got her and dragged her from the jail, madam, they strung her upon the old willow across the way. And a moment before she died, she lifted up her lovely head and cried, madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
Suppose a more literal interpretation. It's the version that I felt. I mean, I had known another version. I forget who it was. It might have been a Billie Holiday or somebody that had sung the song, and I thought it was terribly sad then too. I did not hear anything about it that was sardonic or tongue in cheek when I first heard it. And Brian Ferry's version is, there you go, I would say, you know, quite literal in its interpretation and moving. Moving on, as we do, to yet another song from the letter M. This one entitled Most Gentlemen Don't Like Love. It's a woman's perspective on how most men suffer from romantic inadequacies. And it was originally part of a Broadway show, Leave It to Me. I believe it was Sophie Tucker who basically introduced the song in that show in 1940. 38, I think it was, excuse me, 1938. But this version is performed by Mary Martin, who is also somebody who makes a number of appearances. In fact, stay tuned, because I think we're going to be hearing from her quite soon after this track. Her version of Most Gentlemen Don't Like Love, 90.3 WHPC.
Men don't like love, they just like to kick it around. Most gentlemen can't take love, 'cause most gentlemen can't be profound. As Madame Sappho in some sonnet said, a slap and a tickle is all that the fickle male ever had in his head. For most gentlemen don't like love. I've been in love, and I know what I'm talking of, and oh, to my woe, I have found they just like to kick it around. Thank you.
the clover, and then when it's over, so long, and what is your name? Oh, most gentlemen don't like love. I've been in love, and I know what I'm talking of, and oh, to my woe I have found. They just like to kick it around. Is all Jackie Harner means when he mentions romance. For most gentlemen don't like love. I've been in love, and I know what I'm talking of, and all to my woe I have found. They just like to kick it around. They just like to kick it around.
All right, Mary Martin singing Most Gentlemen Don't Like Love. Now, this next track is also Mary Martin. And it's really unusual, because if when I think of Mary Martin, I think of a woman who basically is not very sexual in terms of her stage presence. I mean, she was Peter Pan, right? Wasn't that Mary Martin?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I'm not even positive if that's true. But I mean, she's not a particularly sexy woman. She's somebody, you know, straightforward, stage persona, lively. But it's quite different. So here she is, actually, though, singing a song that is quite sexual. In fact, it's one of the most sexual things that Cole Porter had ever written. In this song, there's a woman played by Mary Martin in the story. The musical was Leave It to Me, and it was a show about, I think it was about Russia and American relations. And there's this one scene where there's a woman, her name is Dolly in the story, becomes stranded in a Siberian railway station wearing nothing but a fur coat. She's she's naked under the fur coat. And there's all these men who were around her during the performance, and she performs something like a striptease by throwing off the muff that's on her hands and things like that, while the men are watching her perform. And it's kind of, you know, racy for Cole Porter. In fact, some of the versions had to eventually get calmed down. They changed some of the words eventually because they thought that it was a little bit, maybe it implied a little bit too much in some ways. Now, Daddy is a reference to her sugar daddy, not her father. Although, ironically, of course, that's exactly how Cole Porter intended it to be, you know, in terms of words, as having some fun. Mary Martin, after she did it for the stage, she also sang it in a movie. But in the movie, it was she actually got to wear an evening gown beneath the fur because they had to basically make this thing palatable for, you know, a 1940s audience. And a lot of the innuendos of the lyrics are toned down. I believe that this version is from that movie version of the words, where it is toned down a bit, from January 1940. Here's Mary Martin singing My Heart Belongs to Daddy on 90.3 WHPC.
I used to fall in love with all those boys who maul the young cuties. But now I find I'm more inclined to keep my mind on my duties. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine fin and Hattie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Daddy, da 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 da. So I treats it so well. There was a dame that a football game made long for the strong undergraddy. I never dream of making the team, 'cause my heart belongs to daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to daddy. Da 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 da. My daddy, he treats it so well, so well.
Oops, my bad. Apologize for that, folks, but I had managed to invert the two versions that I wanted to play. I wanted to start with the Mary Martin version and then show a little sexier update by, of course, Eartha Kitt. Everything that she touched was sexual. So I thought it would have been interesting to play them in that order. But instead, now we get to maybe we can go cool off a little bit. And we'll play that Mary Martin version right now. Mary Martin's version, following Eartha Kitt's version of My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
On 90.3.
WHPC.
I used to fall in love with all those boys who mow refined ladies. Such a sweet millionaire. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy, but when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine Finnan haddie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to daddy, da 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 da. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to daddy, and my daddy, he treats it so well. Though other dames at football games may long for a strong undergraddy, I never dream of making the team, 'cause my heart belongs to daddy. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I swell, that my heart belongs to daddy, and my daddy, he treats it so well.
All right then, Mary Martin with My Heart Belongs to Daddy. Mind you, you're listening to American Hit Radio here on 90.3 WHPC. in Garden City, New York. I'm the host, Tom Ryan, with my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, as well. We do this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. If you've got a hankering for some music history and you want to get turned on to some sort of something that's a little bit different from standard pop radio, that's exactly what we are here for. We like to play, as anybody who has been listening to us for the past two decades or so, we move all over the map. We go here, as you can hear, back to the 30s, up to contemporary music as often as we can. We bounce back and forth between them. With How Music Changed, we literally do that. We'll cover one subject from the good old days, and then we'll come on up to some more contemporary topic, and we'll run that one for quite a while. You can catch our shows, if you like, on the internet as well. We put them all up on our website, which is AmericanHitNetwork.com. So if you check it out, if you miss a show, if you like a series, say you're interested in Cole Porter and you want to hear some of the other shows, it's easily done. The shows are all posted right there on that website, AmericanHitNetwork.com. Now, what I've been doing during some of these shows at some point, I've been reading from a very condensed biography of Cole Porter's life by...
It looks like Cliff Notes.
Oh, it's definitely Cliff Notes. I mean, it literally is a total of maybe 6 pages worth of text. but rather than read 6 pages straight through, I figure I'm just reading a couple of them, a couple of paragraphs, really, for each of the shows. So I'd like to pick up where we left off. We got to the point of 1923 is where we're at. And Porter's life was changed considerably by the death of J.O. Cole in 1923. That was his very wealthy grandfather, maternal grandfather. The large inheritance, coupled with Linda's financial holdings, who is the older woman who he had married, the divorcee, placed the Porters among the world's wealthiest couples. Soon, they became social leaders on the continent, maintaining lavish residences in Paris, Venice, and Cap d'Antibes. Their friends were the cream of the lost generation, ranging from avant-gardists Diaghilev, Stravinsky, and Picasso, to popular entertainers Fanny Bryce, Beatrice Lilly, and Noel Coward. Elsa Maxwell, the renowned American hostess, was among the first to champion Porter's works among the smart set. Throughout most of the decade, however, he was seemingly content to play the part of a dilettante, inventing satirical ditties solely for the amusement of his fellow expatriates. Many of these party songs were later heard in the chic reviews at Ambassadeur's nightclub in Paris. In 1928, through the efforts of agent Louis Schur, Porter was hired by Broadway producer-songwriter E. Ray Getz to contribute the principal musical numbers to the music comedy Paris, a naughty tribute to Porter's favorite city. His songs for the show, received with rapture by the New York critics, placed him in the vanguard of young American theater composers, alongside Vincent Yeomans, George and Ira Gershwin, Richard Rodgers, and Lawrence Hart. He finished out the decade with the charming scores for 50 Million Frenchmen and the London and Broadway productions of the elegant revue Wake Up and Dream, both from 1929. In this period, Linda began a tradition of giving him a keepsake cigarette box appropriately designed as a lavish souvenir of each opening night. Porter hit his stride as a musical comedy craftsman in the early 1930s, with such shows as The New Yorkers in 1930, Gay Divorce in 1932, Nymph Errant in 1933, Jubilee 1935, and Red, Hot, and Blue 1936. His sophisticated, intelligent rhymes and rhythms reached a zenith in Anything Goes from 1934, which became recognized as one of his finest efforts and a major work in the legacy of the American musical theater. Attention came not only from critics, but also from society columnists who delighted in reporting on his extravagant lifestyle, including his habit of traveling equipped with his own paintings, linen sheets, china, and silverware. He was a rich guy.
Fancy.
We'll leave that off there. We'll pick up with the rest of his biography next week, as we've been doing. And you'll notice on this show, one thing I wanted to cover on this specific show, show number 7 on Cole Porter, we hit a lot of his more popular numbers, as you heard with Miss Otis Regrets and My Heart Belongs to Daddy, and the next one that's coming up. Because the songs are popular and because I find that they are so open to interpretation, I like to play comparable versions or versions of the same song that pretty much can show the breadth of interpretation that these songs allow for the performer. As you had heard with Brian Ferry and Alberta Hunter, you can go a long way with a song like Miss Otis Regrets. And even My Heart Belongs to Daddy can be sort of like flat out sexual, or maybe just a little bit kind of
flirty.
Exactly. This next song, though, I have got 4 versions of it that I want to play. 3 of them will all be by the exact same vocalist, but I will start with what was the original and the most famous version of the song. Night and Day is perhaps the most well-known song that Cole Porter has ever written. Cited by many music critics as perhaps the finest popular song that has ever been written. That, along with maybe Stardust, is up there. I definitely have a huge love of Stardust. The thing with Night and Day is, again, because of what you can do with this song. It's so beautifully written that it's just open to so many different types of interpretations. Now, it originally appeared in a 1932 musical called Gay Divorce. This, which, as I said, is most popular contribution to the Great American Songbook, has been recorded by so many different people. Dozens upon dozens of people recorded it. But it was Fred Astaire who introduced it first on stage. He recorded the song for release with the Leo Reisman Orchestra, and it immediately became a number one hit in its time, staying at number one for 10 weeks.
Wow. Impressive.
Right. In 1934, there was a film version of the show where they renamed it, they went from Gay Divorce to Gay Divorcee, and the song was used there, and its popularity was pretty much cemented at that point. So here is, we'll start with this, the original version of Night and Day is performed by Fred Astaire on 90.3 WHPC.
Near to me or far, yeah. It's no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you. Night and day, day and night, why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Night and day, night and day, under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day.
All right, then. Fred Astaire's version of Night and Day. Rather beautiful, from the 30s. Now, we're going to play four versions of this song, one from each subsequent decade. And I said three versions are going to be all by the exact same performer. Well, that performer, I guess you would have guessed, is going to be Frank Sinatra. As it turns out, Frank actually recorded the song five times in his career. But the very first time was almost exactly a decade after Fred Astaire's version, recorded in 1942. Now, Frank Sinatra started his career singing with Harry James, basically in front of big bands or in the studio. Basically, Sinatra was becoming, this is when he was like obviously beginning to make all the women on the radio basically were falling in love with him.
Swooning.
Absolutely. I mean, well, the thing is, he was one of the first people that really became a genuine master of microphone usage, casual use of the microphone. Bing Crosby made it, basically did a huge job of bringing forward that sort of intimate vocal style, but Frank took it way further. Personalized it very much so, in a sense. So he started that career with Harry James, moved on to the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, took it even further, and then in 1942, he decided to go solo. This is the man who made the Bobby Soxers, basically. It's like you said, swoon. This is the, I forget what his nickname was then, but he was obviously, you know, a huge star of the 40s. And this song was actually on his very first solo 78 RPM record with Columbia Records. An arrangement by Alex Stordahl, who loves strings. He's just a huge string guy. So here then, Sinatra recorded it again with Stordahl in 1947, but this is the first time Frank sang it, considering it to be a perfect way for him to kick off his solo career. His first long playing 78 RPM record on Columbia, Night and Day on 90.3 WHPC.
let me spend my life making love to you day and night.
He sings it perfectly in that version. You can certainly understand why he would start his solo career singing that song, because it suits him so perfectly. That's the Frankie version of Frank Sinatra's career when he was on Columbia Records. Now we jump forward a decade. Now he's on Capitol Records. Think of Sinatra now as Old Blue Eyes, the guy, the ring-a-ding-ding guy, kind of, you know.
The hep cat.
Yeah.
The rat pack.
Part of the rat pack thing. Basically, the early years of all that, when he was at in the prime of his life. And I said, on Capitol Records, he recorded the song again with a much different interpretation from an album called A Swingin' Affair. Here's Sinatra's version number two of Night and Day on 90.3 WHPC.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you, neath the moon or under the sun. Whether near to it's no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you day and night, night and day. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you day and night, night and day. Under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, baby, where you are, I think of you day and night, night and day. Why is it so that this longing for you follows
ago. In the roaring traffic's boom, silence of my lonely room, I think of you. There's an oh such a hungry burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend life making love to you day and night.
Frank Sinatra with the inimitable Nelson Riddle arrangement. Doesn't get better than that, really. But it does actually it? Does. It actually does, in my mind anyway. In 1961, Sinatra teamed up with Don Costa to record the song yet again for an album called Sinatra and Strings. And this time he did it with a ton of gravitas. He added so much weight to the song. When he says the word boom, he gives me chills. It's such an amazingly beautiful version. I think it's the last time he recorded the song, but to me, this is stunning. Just to hear these three versions back to back, seeing how much growth there is and how much interpretation the song is capable of. Version number three by Frank Sinatra of Night and Day on 90.3 WHBC.
Like the beat, beat, beat of the tum-tum, when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick, tick, tock of the stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating, you, 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 night and day. You are the one, only whether near to me or far. No matter, darling, where you are, I think of you night and day. That this longing for you follows wherever I go. In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you night and day, night and day. Under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day.
Perhaps the most passionate version of what is one of the most passionate songs ever written. Frank Sinatra with an amazing version of Night and Day from the early 60s, I think 1961, I said. The song was also used, I guess, the very first mostly fictional film bio about Cole Porter's life was called Night and Day, starring Cary Grant. Oh, we've got time for just one more quick one. So let's drop this in and we can pick up next week with the remainder. This song is from a 1949 show called Out of This World. It's performed here by cabaret singer Portia Nelson as recorded in 1952. We'll come back with another song from this show next week as we start again. So here she is then singing No Lover. Thanks, folks, very much. Have a great weekend and enjoy it. This is Tom Ryan and Hattie Morales on 90.3 WHPC. Good evening.
So many wives I meet today complain because their husbands won't play. So many wives to catch romance rush off to Paris, but not for dresses, but for caresses made in France. Let them live their lives. I'm the most contented of wives. Suits me to a T. No lover, no fiddly-dee. My husband is but heavenly. The moment his kisses upon me were hurled, it's been all hits, no misses, 'cause he's just out of this world. Yes, my husband suits me to a T. So no, 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 no. No lover for me. The moment his kisses upon me were hurled, it's been all hits and no misses, 'cause he's just out of this world. Yes, my husband suits me to a T. So no, no, no.
Portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Center for Workforce Development at Nassau Community College. Did you know you can learn how to become a dental assistant? An 80-hour program at Nassau Community College prepares students for entry-level positions in one of the fastest-growing healthcare positions, dental assisting. Class includes lectures, labs, and covers key areas and topics. The course begins October 10th and concludes December 17th, with classes conducted evenings and Saturdays. More information can be found by contacting the Center for Workforce Development at 516-572-7487 or by visiting ncc.edu.